Let us thank the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful things you have shown us already. Guide us by your mighty power, your mighty spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Stand up again, please, and shake somebody's hand and say, congratulations on being here. Tell the person, I know you are improving, especially in your attitude. All right. You may be seated. Oko, is Oko there?
Will you do it again?
Again,
again.
Jesus,
you gave
Seated. You want more songs? No problem. I want to talk with you a bit about full-time ministry. How many people here are in full-time ministry? Full-time. Wow. Very good. How many are not in full-time ministry? Put your hands down. How many work for Pharaoh? Those who raise your hands that you are not in full-time ministry are the same people who are working for Pharaoh. Or you don't understand it that way. All right? Now, what is full-time ministry? Many times people feel guilty about full-time ministry, but I don't want you to feel guilty. So I'm sharing with you about guilt-removing principles to remove your guilt. Number one is the principle of fighting a war while someone else pays the bills. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Amen. Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? All right? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Okay. All the soldiers who are fighting in Afghanistan, do you think they are at the same time doing farming? No. They don't have any farms. They go and fight and they come back home. And some people are in America working on farms, doing business, making iPads and so on and paying taxes. And that money is used to pay the soldiers. So full-time ministry is 1 Corinthians 9, 7. Who goes to the war at his own expense? There's nothing like that. All right? Number two is the principle of being the first to drink the wine of your vineyard. 1 Corinthians 9, 7, all right, is the principle of planting a vineyard, okay, and drinking the fruit of it. 1 Corinthians 9, 7, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? So being in full-time ministry is like planting a vineyard and drinking of the fruits from the vineyard you've planted. When we were in Cape Town for a crusade recently, we stayed in a vineyard. And I'm sure the people there have been tasting the wine. Is it unusual? Is it a sin? So it should be, there's nothing wrong in drinking from the vineyard that you have planted and been tending. Okay, so Bishop Mosasono, how many here are from Grace Bible Church? Pastors? Just the pastors. Okay, how many are from Grace Bible Church? Can I see your hand? The rest. Okay, has been planting this vineyard for so many years. And there is nothing wrong if he drinks some of the wine from the vineyard. So for somebody to have even the slightest feeling of negativity, towards him drinking some of the wine, that person is not normal. And I hope there is no Grace Bible Church pastor with such a mind, even secretly. I hope it's not a secret mind. And any of you pastors who don't like me, there is something wrong with you. Yes. I'm telling you, I don't want to lie to you. There's something wrong. If you don't like me, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. Because I'm the man who has loved you and has cared for you, taught you, mothered you, fathered you, appointed you, is the one I am defending, is the one I'm helping, is the one I am establishing in your eyes. I'm honoring him in your eyes. So if you don't like me for doing that, it means you don't like him and don't like his wife, and you are some way. You planted a vineyard and you see the person taking one cup of wine. Hey, don't touch it. Why? What is wrong? Who is that? Can you locate the person who is having this attitude? Have you located the person who is not happy that our pastor, they changed their minds? They didn't come today. I hear they didn't come today. And number three, the principle of not muzzling the ox that treads out the corn. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. That's the same principle that is being used in full-time ministry. You don't tie the mouth of the ox. Like the ox were used to walk on the corn. And the principle is that you don't tie his mouth so that he cannot occasionally take something small. How much can he eat? So what you want to do is to let the pastor preach to you and you tie his mouth. He can never taste anything good. Now, you don't understand ministry. You see, and when you do this, people are afraid of full-time ministry. They don't want to work for God at all because of this kind of attitude. They say, hey, you know what? Let me go and get my own money. I'm going to work somewhere. Nobody can say anything about me. I don't want to hear this nonsense. When a small bread that I'll eat, you see people talking a lot and saying something stupid, whatever, Charlie. And they turn away from full-time ministry. This is why people are afraid of full-time ministry. Yes. And they don't want their children to ever be in full-time. Say, look, go and get a job. Don't let somebody mistreat you because of a small drink of wine. Better save yourself from such nonsense. Yes. And so it is up to us as pastors, do you see, to establish the reality of what is right. Yes. And I'll tell you that if you cannot honor the head, what you must realize is that everybody else, once you bring the head down, everybody else is further down. So it is rather in your interest to lift up the head and honor him. You should be bringing buckets of wine, gallons of wine, gallons of milk, and not be making snide remarks, sarcastic comments, saying things that you don't understand. You shall not muzzle the ox. The ox is there. And you tie the mouth. Never take even one grain. Right, wicked man. And your ox will die soon. Number four. It's the full-time ministry. And I'm preaching from this book, The Art of Ministry. Where is it? I'm sure I have one. I've been given one every day. The Art of Ministry. Wow. Okay, I cannot find it. But I'm sure I have one. How many realize that it's an important book? Yes. Very, very important. The next one is to drink the milk from the flock. Wow. Your sheep and cows are bringing milk. And you say you will not make conflicts for your child to have conflicts with milk. Never. Your child should never. Conflicts with water. Your child must drink conflicts with water. Even though you've got a lot of milk. Huh? And the milks are there in cartons. And you are about to sell it. One bottle cannot be taken for your child. For breakfast. No. Not allowed. Wow. Use water to make the conflicts. Conflicts with water. Do you eat conflicts in South Africa? I don't know what you eat, so I have to ask. The next one is the principle of having a farm and eating of the produce of the farm. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 10. Yea, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 10. Huh? Wow. Is it not amazing? Number 6. The principle of sowing spiritual seeds and reaping material things. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Thank God for Paul's writings. Books are important too. Yay! If Paul hadn't written all these things, what would we? We wouldn't know what we are doing. All these things are written practically. Like it's not in parables or anything, just clear. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Huh? Is it too much? If I sowed spiritual things in you and I reap material things from you, is it too much? It's not too much. What are material things? A car is one of the most basic. As for a car, it's not even, I don't call it, consider it a rip. No, it's not even a luxury. You have not ripped. Because the car is used to work. Yes. A pastor, really, you shouldn't even own a car. You should just use the church's car. Full-time pastor. Why should you own a car? It is of no use to own it. When you own it, it doesn't do anything to you. It will just be old. Yes, because the car, you use it to go to church and only do the work of your whole work is ministry. So when you say it's for you, what do you mean by it's for you? It's nothing. It's for the work. It's a church. It's a property. You are just using it. When you die, you leave it. If it will even be, it will be too old by the time you are dead. Yes. It's not even something you can give as an inheritance to someone. When my father died, he gave a car, but the car was old. You understand? The car was very old. It is because Christians are wicked and assistant pastors are wicked that something like a car will sound like a reward. Yes. And when I say assistant, it's like when I say assistant, you see, there are some things that it's not nice for you to say it yourself. You stand up and you say, I think I deserve to have this. I think I deserve this. And you know, I've worked so long and I think that it's appropriate that I have this and I have this. And instead of the assistant to stand up and say, excuse me, my bishop, please, we don't want to be children. You have labored amongst us, cared for us. We are what we are because of what you have been doing. We will not accept anything less than this. You must be in such a condition. Otherwise, we are not satisfied and we are not happy. And we don't want you to be like us. You are far above us. The assistants of David told David, you are worth 10,000 of us. You are 10,000 of us. If they kill any of us, they will not mind. But you, if you die, that is it. That is how a church member should speak. And that's how assistants who have power and influence should speak. But because they don't speak, then the pastor is forced to quietly value himself and see that, am I worth this or that? Then we talk about a house. You see, like that scripture, the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die. If half of us die, it doesn't matter. It's true. If half of all of you die, it's not the same as the leader. It's not the same. If half of us die, everything is going on. But now thou art where they will not care if half of us die. You see, half of the church will die. It's not the same as the pastor dying. The pastor dying. That, you know, and do you know why this verse is saying this? It's showing you, you see, the value of a person is if you think of the person being dead. That's how you see the value of a person. You know, you see a person's value by imagining the death of a person. Yeah. That's how you are helped to see the value of a person, by imagining the death of a person. That's when you talk like this, you say, if half of us die. How many Christian leaders would even speak like this? If half of the church was dead, it doesn't matter. They don't even care. But you are more than half of the church. Only you. Sometimes you see husbands and wives having a lot of conflict. I've seen it. Sometimes you see wives. You see, wives, when they are too powerful, it's not good. You shouldn't make your wife too powerful. Demons can enter you. Me, I don't care what you think about me. At all. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. No problem. Wife is good, but not too powerful. If you are too powerful, if a white woman is too powerful, it's not good. It's very dangerous. A lot of senior pastors have problem because the wife is too powerful. And then instead of being a humble mouse, nicely submitted, she's a challenging PowerPoint. Yeah. But As you keep challenging the person, you see how your life will change if he's dead. You see that you descend into what you are, which is nothing. It's like an associate who feels very powerful. Say, talk a big talk. Blah, blah, blah. You see God and say, you are not the only person like Korah. You are not the only holy one. You are not the only this. You think, well, you are exalting yourself, blah, 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 blah. You separate and you see that you are nothing. But they were elders and they were noble people in the church. But they felt they were great and they challenged Moses. And God showed them that you are nothing. That's why most orangus, when they leave churches, they get away, they move away, they turn into nothing. And they become nothing because they are actually nothing. Yeah. So it is important to know, and you see the value of a person by seeing the death of the person. If I am dead now, a lot of parameters will change. And people that are important will lose their importance. Yes. You may not know. Yeah, a whole lot of people that are important, they suddenly just become unimportant. It's true. That's why they say, if half of us die, they won't care. But you, if you die, you will see. And maybe you've never met a woman who had an important husband and whose husband is now dead. And you see how she's become like a detached branch. And you see that they are like, it's like a car that was moving and the petrol got finished. And the engine is now not working. The car is moving. It's like, there's no movement. Yeah. And that is what will make you turn to your husband and say, when you think wisely like these people, that's it. More people don't think like that. When you think wisely, you turn to your husband and say, thank you for marrying me. Thank you for choosing me. You will kneel before him and say, my Lord. You can do it now. You can do it now. Yes. Wow, look at that, look at that. Thank you for marrying me. Yeah. But perhaps you haven't seen it. Now, I've met several women whose husbands died. They were married to sometimes an important person, or and if the person was the head, then he's gone. Then you see the person is like a plane without engine is flying in the air. And if people are not spiritual or think of what is in the Bible, you, the widow, they will not even mind you. Yes. One of our board members died. And his wife comes around. And I honor her because if I don't mind her, nobody will mind her. And I said, she should always come. She should always be here. I will always honor her. But if I don't, nobody is going to honor her. Yeah. Because really the person we were dealing with was with a man. Yeah. That's why if you, the woman, die and he marries again, we will relate with the new one too who comes. When she comes, we also relate with us. Oh, ma'am, you are welcome. Wonderful. We are happy to see you. But if you, the woman, go and marry another man, say, okay, bye-bye. Yeah. He will take you, maybe he will be a bank manager. He will take you to the bank and you go. Oh, yeah. Instead of seeing that If all these people die, only you, if you die, my life would just descend. Every day challenging, opposing, either directly or indirectly, with a face, with an attitude. As if you've got a status epilepticus. Or petit mal epilepsy. Or what is it when the children have this, what do you call it? Cerebral palsy. With a face. Your face is more than what you say. Your face is more than what you are saying. One day I met a man who had a pastor. He had had the experience of marrying two wives. I mean, no, not at the same time. Yeah, different times. There are a number of reasons why somebody may marry two wives. I'm not going to tell you in this case the reason, but there were two. Divorce is one, death is another, different things. He had married two wives. One was very spiritual, into preaching, into everything. The other one was not so spiritual. Sometimes she wouldn't even do much spiritual things at all. So one day I had the opportunity to ask this pastor, because now that he had no wife. There are also reasons why people have no wives, that they are dead, divorced, they are different. I'm not going to tell you the reason in this case, but I'm telling you something. Learn something. I'm telling you, these are widows. I asked him, which of these two wives would you prefer? The preacher, one, spiritual, doing this and that in the church all over the place. And this one who is not so spiritual, and I mean, it's not so, we can't tell, but you know, which of the two? I had the shock of my life, and you're also going to have the shock of your life. Are you ready for the shock of your life? Yeah. He said, I prefer the one that is not spiritual. And I said, wow. Why? He said, oh, because when, you know, in the church, this other one is always fighting me, challenging, like an associate. I mean, a challenger, fighting, I mean, discussing, always there's a meeting, you can never really flow. But this one, she's just happy to be with you, she's just flowing around easily. That is what we need as a wife. We need somebody who's flowing around, not a challenger or an associate, very high up. The person is, I mean, wiser than you, saying thing. When you have a vision, the person also has a vision. Hey! When you have a word from the Lord, the person also says, I have purpose in my heart to do this and that. When you come and you say, God has spoken to me, the person also says, last night I had a dream. I had a vision. God said to me this and that. Yeah. One day, I met, all my stories are true. I met a certain person. And this person mentioned the name of a very important person. And I asked, where is this important person staying? Where is his house? He said, oh, he's not really a Christian. Not a Christian. I don't know if he's a Christian. I hope he's. He said, oh, no, he doesn't stay at home. So where does he stay? So he stays in another house. Why does he stay there? He said, oh, this house he's staying in, there is a man there who brings small girls to this important man. Because the wife is not a small girl. She's a mighty. She's a mighty fortress. So he has moved. He has moved. Relocated. To be at a place where this guy can bring small girls. Now, it is not a good thing. Nobody is advising. But let's think about it in another way. Why does he want this small girl rather than this mighty fortress in the house? Who wants to argue all the time? Who wants somebody who never smiles? Who wants a challenger? Who wants to have a meeting in the office and come home to continue another meeting in the house? Give me a kettle. Get me a kettle. Who wants to have a meeting in the office and come home for another rebuke? And the person will tell you, I'm the only one who can tell you what I'm telling you. Yeah. This is a kettle. Very good. Give me a chair. One. Give me another chair. Oko, I need you here. Mr. Johnson, in the green corner. These are two boxes. This is the red corner, and this is the green corner. Super bantamweight, welterweight, heavyweight championship. This is a great man of God. And this is another great man of God. Yes. Liano? Who is that Moja? Where's Moja? Come. Stand here. Wow. Okay, Liano, come here. No, you are wearing red. Okay, so go to the red. Okay. Now, this is a great man of God. This is another great man of God. And they are working for God and they are fighting a good fight of faith. Okay? This is his lovely wife. Sweet looking. This is his gentle wife. She looks even like an angel. Look at how fair she is. My fair lady. Look at how soft she looks when you touch. She has power steering when I touch like this. So I'm the referee. So I have to. Come. I'm giving you the rules, okay? Cling round one. Bang, bang. Finish, round one is over. Sit down. No kisses for the man. Round two, ministry. Comfort, comfort. Okay. Bling. They are in the third phase of their ministry now. Wow, this is a very strong one. Cling. Hey. Okay. Go back. Now, he's now going further into the fourth phase of his ministry. And now, ding! Now the man of God is really to your corner. Hot water. Hey! What is wrong with you? This is your man of God. What are you doing? You see, as you see now, what is going on? He's what?
He's gone all the time.
I used to go before.
But these little girls that are around you in church and saving you.
Hey, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Stop it. Cling. Cling. Back. Man of God, go back. Go back. Go back home. Now, look, there is hot water in this. It was used to make tea for me. Pour it on him. Yes! Cling! Cling! Man of God, get back, get back. You have to fight. Fight a good fight. Forget about your domestic problems. Fight. Why can't you preach anymore? Clean, go back. Kisses. Massage him. Oosh. Oosh. Sit down. Hey, sit in your corner. Oh, This is what is happening in people's houses. When they finish fighting, when they finish church and they go back, that's her there. Pouring water. Hot, pour it on him. Pour it on him. Huh? Look at that. Look at what they're arguing. She's threatening him that his anointing will leave. Final round. Clean. Huh?
I'm dead.
You are not dead. You are not dead. You can fight. Fight a good fight. God will help you. God is helping you. God is helping you. Hey! God is helping. The grace of God has appeared in spite of the hot water, in spite of the treatment. The grace of God. Fight on, brother. Fight on. Yes. Fight on. Fight on. Fight on. Fight on. Wow. Okay. Clean. Now you are even immune to the hot water when they point. It's hot. It's hot, but you are surviving. It's hot, but you are surviving. A lot of people are surviving. A lot of people are surviving. A lot of people are surviving. Claim! Clap for them, clap for them, clap for them. Come and pray for, let me pray for you so that it doesn't happen to you. Eesh. Father, let it not be. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. We cast out every negative prophecy in Jesus' name. Amen. Our lives are history.
I just want to share about how it's gonna be. Jesus, you and me in eternity. The winner takes it all. Those who run the race. Those who trust in Him. I just want to talk about the crowns we're going to wear when we finish here.
When we finish here.
And we get up there. I just want to talk about the crown of righteousness He gives to everyone who looks for His return. I want to give my all, strive to have that blessed crown. It is a great reward from the King of Kings. The winner takes the crown. He who overcomes walks the streets of gold in glory. The want to see you there in your beautiful mansion, a mansion built for you by your Lord and King. You must wear your crown.
You must wear your crown.
Overcome temptation.
Overcome temptation.
And you can have a crown. A crown forevermore. The winner takes the crown.
Sowing spiritual seeds and reaping material things, isn't it? Number 7, the principle of ministering holy things and living off these holy things. 1 Corinthians 9:13. We are ministering holy things and we eat holy things when we are in full-time ministry. Number 8, waiting at the altar and partaking of the altar. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar. And number 9, principle of eating and drinking as you work. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 4. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Amen. Full-time ministry is a wonderful vocation. I would encourage you to pray that one day you will have an opportunity to be in full-time ministry. Number 10. The principle of taking a break from work. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Hey. So that is amazing. Okay. Now, what are the wrong reasons for entering into full-time ministry? Number 1. The first wrong reason for going to full-time ministry is because you do not do well in school. And because you are not qualified for any other profession. That is a bad reason. The second bad reason for going to full-time ministry is because you think people in full-time ministry look prosperous. Never enter into full-time ministry because you think people look prosperous. Oh, the man of God, he's wearing a nice suit, he's driving a nice car, so I'm also going to full-time ministry because when I drive, you know, one day one young man said, he saw the pastor driving a nice car, he said to the senior pastor, I see my future. I see my future. Number 3, wrong reason to enter full-time ministry is because you think that those in full-time ministry would travel abroad often. That is a bad reason. Don't do that. Stay and work at ShopRite and you go to Tokyo. The next bad reason to enter full-time ministry is because you don't have a job now. You are unemployed. So you come and see Bishop Moses, can I please have a job? Because I don't have a job. No, I used to work at FNB, that I lost my job. Then I went to work at Stanbic, I've lost my job. And then now I was working at KFC, and I don't have anything to do. I would like to work for God now. Because KFC doesn't want me anymore. Wow. It's a what? Wrong reason. Amen. I had a job, and I opted to do the ministry. Amen. The next one is because the next bad reason for coming into full-time ministry, and I'm preaching from my book, chapter 20, Wrong Reasons for Coming to Full-Time Ministry. People come into full-time ministry because they feel it's a better paying job. Oh, SABC is paying me this. But when I do the TV ministry in Grace Bible Church, I'm going to get 12,000 rands a month. But SABC was giving me 9,600 rands. But Grace Bible Church is offering me 12,000. So that's a better job. So I'm going in for a better job. Then the next time, Gobligop International Pentecostal Ministry will come and offer you 13,300. And then you'll be off from Grace Bible Church to Gobligop International Faith Supernatural Angels Ministry. You know, one day, I saw a certain man. He used to be on a board that I used to be on. But one day I asked, where is he? They said he's no more on the board. So I said, why is he no more on the board? And they told me a story. They said the board that I used to be on, I'm on that board, they went somewhere to hold a conference. And the host church for the conference, like how Bishop Musa is hosting a conference. The conference was being held. It wasn't that church's conference, but just the church pastor and the building. They were hosting the conference, just like this. And one of the board members was asked to speak. So he spoke, and it was powerful and all that. When he finished speaking, and after, you know, in the course of them being there, he approached the assistant to the host. Do you see? Like maybe Dr. Ezekiel. Am I saying the right thing? Let's say Dr. Ezekiel. So like maybe me, and I approach Dr. Ezekiel, God forbid, and then he offered him, and this was in South Africa, he offered the pastor a higher salary. That's the assistant of the church. He offered him a higher salary. Do you get it? To come and work with him. And the pastor of that church, the assistant pastor, accepted the salary and left the host church to follow this guy who was a board member. And it caused a big problem. Because it's like coming to host the program had brought a big problem to the church. But you see, you even ask yourself, what type of person are you whom they can offer you a higher salary? And you are following the high salary. Idiote. Yes. Now you got to be careful. The ministry is not about what is the highest salary. It's not about what is there. I don't have any job. My job is not working anymore. You know, they laid us off and so on. So now I want to take up what Bishop Moses offered us to work in there. You are not normal. You are not working. Your mind is nowhere. That is a different. It's like working full-time ministry and working in the secular world. It's like working on earth and working in the moon. It's like the parameters are different.
Very different.
In the world, yes, I accept it. If you are working at FNB and Stanbic Bank, what other bank do you have here? APSA offers you a higher job. I will advise you to take the higher one because you are working for money. I think it's very wise to get a better salary most of the time or some of the times. But not ministry. Ministry is not for the salary. So get your mind working right when it comes to full-time ministry. How can somebody come? I know another church, the worship leader was approached. And he followed it. He was offered this. He was offered in America. You can have this. You can have this. In this same South Africa. One day I saw this worship leader on television. He was giving an interview many years after. And he said, look, I made the greatest mistake of my life. He said, when I followed that offer, he said, not knowing that all the things they were offering were not real. Apparently, it wasn't real. He said, this wasn't like this, this wasn't like that, this wasn't like that. He said, I entered into the darkest zone of my life for many years. I was looking at him. Because you see, what happens is that sometimes when you are just a worship leader or you are the associate, you don't realize that your so-called importance is related to the person, not you. It's not you who is really important. It's the same thing as the wife. It's not you who is really important. It's the head. And you will see his importance if he dies. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you just imagine that your husband is dead. Even if you are a board member, you imagine if your husband is dead. We have had one before. You see that you are important unless there's a spiritual person who knows that a widow is a very important person. Because I believe that widows are very important because God has a special importance for widows. But if I didn't have that mind, at least in the body, you say, sorry, your time is coming, you know. We don't know you. We don't know you. You are not a board member. It's your husband who was a board member, not you. You were just tagging along. And maybe we didn't say it in that way. You know. That's how we could talk. True. This worship leader, he was shocked. He thought he was the greatest worship leader. Everybody singing his songs, making CDs, what have you. Oh. The day that he stepped out, he dived into darkness. I watched him saying it on TV and I said, what are people following? You may not like my message, but... Number six, you don't enter into full-time ministry because it's a stepping stone to where you want to go. I want to work for SABC, so I'm going to work for Grace Bible Church Media Department as a stepping stone to working for SABC or ETV. Number seven, don't be in full-time ministry because your spouse pressured you into it. Your spouse is not the Holy Spirit. Never go into full-time ministry. My husband is really putting pressure on me to come into the ministry. My this and that. That is not why you come into full-time ministry. You can listen to advice, but the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Yes. You must have a call. You can't say, my wife is giving me headache in my room. So I've come. Pastor, employ me. No. You must not be in full-time ministry because you want to work in a family-oriented organization so that you can have children during your work in the church time. And you will not be coming to work most of the time. And as for a church, because they are family-oriented, they will not sack me. I'll be on sick leave, maternity leave, house leave, today this, tomorrow that. I never come to work for years. And you are using the church to give birth. For your reproductive years of having young children, you are saying that you are being employed in the church, when in reality you are not working. Number nine. Wrong reason to be in full-time ministry is because you are too lazy to look for a job. I can't be applying to jobs, going around from office to office looking for a job. I'm too lazy, so let me work in the church. That is easy. The next one is, don't be in full-time ministry because you have acquired everything that you need to, so now you feel secure. You've acquired everything that you need to. You are not going to work for. You've bought cars. You've bought a house. You got everything. You have saved money. You are not coming to work for God. It's dangerous. Your car will be old just now. I know somebody who bought a lot of cars before he came to full-time ministry. And shortly after, all the cars got spoiled. I don't want to mention his name. Because he's around. You've got everything in the world secured. So now I'm coming to God. God doesn't like that. You are telling him, you can't look after me. You can't even buy a car for me, Lord. Yeah. So I have to secure this, get this, get this, get that. Hey! I remember a certain brother, he bought cars. Showed us all the cars he had bought. Said, I'm ready now. Huh? Went for holidays, everything, and came. Number 11. Do not come into full-time ministry because you don't want to look unspiritual or uncommitted. No. Someone said, well, if I'm not full-time, people will think I'm not a spiritual wife or I'm not spiritual. Or no. Sometimes you'll be better off not coming into full-time ministry because it's not your calling. You are not comfortable in working in a church environment. Maybe better continue working in a secular and assisting your husband in that way. And say, now, hey, they'll say that I'm not spiritual. These people, let me also come and say I'm working in the church. That is a bad reason. That is a bad reason. I'll prefer whoever it is to be happily working wherever you are working than to come into the church with a grumpy attitude. Number 12. Don't come into the full-time ministry because you think you have a lighter schedule. Amen. Now, what are the right reasons for coming into full-time ministry? What are the right, correct reasons for being in full-time ministry? Number one, I'm preaching from my book, The Art of Ministry. And that is this particular book here, The Art of Ministry. Right reasons for full-time ministry. Number one, the best important reason for you to come into full-time ministry and serve God in full-time ministry is because you love God. You love God. Amen. Peter asked, do you love me? Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then he said, tend my lambs. Do you love me? Three times. So Jesus is giving us in this story, the reason for being a shepherd. The reason for giving yourself to work for God is, do you love me? Three times, do you love me? I would not advise you to work for God if you do not have that kind of love. Yes. It will be a pain for your whole life. Constantly struggling. Constantly struggling. You must have that love for him. How deep is your love for him? Your love for him must be so deep that you want to serve him. Yes. Yes. That's why you find it difficult. Honestly, I cannot say that I love sick people. That's why I was a doctor. No. Neither can I say that I had such a feeling, love for the hospital. No. Do you know what is in the hospital? Apart from everything, a lot of terrible conditions. One of the things that is in the hospital is fear. I tell you, when you see the diseases, you can become afraid as the doctor. When you see the cross, you know that the person is just like you. There are some operations when you watch it happening, you pray that you will never be on such a table. Hey! Look, when they operate on people, they can cut you open totally and take your intestines, everything outside. I mean, you even wonder whether it's a human being who is going to live again. It's like meat. You can be afraid. Yes. They wash everything with saline and you'll be there. It's amazing. Yeah. There's death in the hospital. There's sadness. You have to tell people bad things. This, I'm sorry to inform you. I have something bad to tell you. I'm sorry to inform you the result of this test. It means this and that. There's fear. There's sadness. There's bad news. There's frightening things. There's smells. There's ugly things. That's not what I love. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Yes. I'm happy to go to the house of the Lord. Yeah. I was so glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I was glad when they said, let us go to the hospital. You are going to be a surgeon. You are going to be this. No. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. You want to sing?
Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand in thy gates, O Jerusalem.
Stop. How many like coming to church? Like, how many like hanging around a church? Then you are called. You are likely to be called. Like, this is what you like. You see, look, you'll be at work, but you want to go to church. And when you are in church, you don't want to leave. Those of you who want to leave quickly, you are not called. Anytime we go to church, Lighthouse Church, you cannot find Sunday afternoon that the church is empty. Never. From Alaska to Cape Town. When they go to church in the morning, one day a certain pastor, his Lighthouse pastor, his mother was there, his mother-in-law, and it was Sunday. And he was going out. And she asked him, is this the day that you go and you come tomorrow? Do you understand? Is this the day that you, when you go to work, you come tomorrow? Like, that, this is Sunday. This is the day that we go and we come tomorrow. Yeah. I was glad.
Our feet shall stand in thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is the territory.
NASB.
To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there is a seat of judgment, even the seat of the house of David. Oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They of the Lord our God.
Wow.
I will seek to do me good.
Glory.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and
His house. Have you got an affection for his house? Do you want to keep coming back to his house? Wow. That shows your love. You know, you'll be at KFC, but you're working as the supervisor of two KFCs, but you love the house of the Lord. Yes. You'll be working on South African Airways, but you want to come to the house of the Lord. That shows your calling. And I want you to serve the Lord and pray that God will give you the privilege that one day what you really like doing is what you'll be doing. You do it on Mondays, you do it on Tuesdays, you do it on Wednesdays, you do it on Thursdays, you do it on Friday, you do it every day of your life. Every day. What a blessing. There's nothing like that. I tell you, I worked as a doctor. I couldn't wait. When we was on, we call it cover, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'd be looking at the watch all the time. Looking at the watch. When is it? 8 o'clock. 7:30. 7:35. 7:40. 7:45. 8 o'clock exactly. As the second are going like this, my leg is crossing the door. It's going out like that. The nurses used to call me, I'm off. Because every time I say, I'm off, and as soon as there's nothing to do, I'm off. They used to call me, I'm off. I say, I'm off. I always wanted to go to church. So I'm so happy that now I can be in church every day. Yeah, I can be in church every day. So I pray for you that God will give you grace so that you will have the opportunity to do what you love to do. And that is to be in his house. That's going to be your story. In a couple of years from now, most of you here will be in full-time ministry. Number two, enter full-time ministry because you fear God. Fear. 1 Corinthians 9:16. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Listen, if God has called you, you don't have a choice. Woe to you if you do not preach the gospel. Amen. Number three, enter full-time ministry to fulfill your calling. Amen. Enter full-time ministry to fulfill your calling. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Go all out and finish it. Do the maximum that you can possibly do as a pastor. Don't do the minimum. Make full proof. Use all the gifts that you have in you. Amen. Let us stop dying with most of our gifts. Yes. Let us give out most of what we have. And that's why I'm trying hard to do iron sharpeneth iron in different countries Amen. Sowing seeds, because I cannot do more than sowing a seed. I'm sowing a seed here. I'm sowing a seed in South Africa. I'm sowing a seed in... The host church is getting the biggest seed because it's easier for you to come. I'm sowing a seed in pastors here. In what I'm saying is stabilizing churches. There are pastors here whom I've had people come to apologize to them during the conference, after the conferences. Sorry for the way we have behaved. Sorry for what we are, what how we have treated you as associate pastors, as members. Yes. There are wives who saw this drama. You know yourselves. I want me to call your names and tell you you are the red corner and you are the green corner. No. You know yourselves. Many wives have behaved like that with hot water kettles. When your husband comes home, it's not coming to peace. It's time for more negotiations and more whatever. It doesn't matter how sweet you look and how gentle, how nice your dress and your hair and all the nice things are. Those things, it's normal for you to do it. You are a woman. Every woman has to dress. It's not. It doesn't mean you are nice. It doesn't mean you are nice. It's normal for a woman to do all those things. That's not what it means that you are nice. I'm sowing seeds. I'm trying to make full proof of my ministry. Yeah. And that's why you see older people. I saw one older person whose wife had died and was going to get married and asked him, what type of... girl, do you want? Do you want a Coca-Cola shape? He said, no, 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 no. Do you want a Brazilian hair? He said, no, 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 no. Do you want a Malaysian eyelashes? No, no, no. Do you want Italian massage? No, 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 no. He said, then what do you want? He said, I want peace. I want peace. I just want peace. Hey! He's an experienced person. He said, you want Italian massage? I don't want Italian massage. Malaysian eyelashes? I don't need Malaysian eyelashes. Brazilian hair? No. Coca-Cola shape? No. I need peace. Receive peace. You are receiving it now in Jesus' name. Make full proof of your ministry. Fully. Number four, enter full-time ministry to finish your work. Yes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Are you there? Do it. You will be able to do it. And then as you go on in ministry, more reasons for coming into full-time ministry are going to happen practically. Number five, the next reason for you to be in full-time ministry is to be able to travel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In journeys often, Paul is describing his ministry. In journeys often, many, many, many journeys must be undertaken by pastors. Why? There is a special and spiritual reason for traveling. There are many, many things that are accomplished by traveling. One of the things that is accomplished by traveling is your personal education and improvement. Like I was saying yesterday, you may have had whatever type of education, or as some people in Ghana, no education. But you educate yourself by traveling. But apart from that, there is a mystical reason for traveling. If you don't travel, you die in the ministry before your time of dying. True. You see, you are very anointed and wonderful. But you don't know how wonderful you are and how anointed you are. Because you are only in one place. And what you don't realize is that even if you stay in one place forever, everybody will not be saved through you. In the same place. They won't come. Even if this church is big, Soweto has how many million people?
About 4.6 million people.
So even if this hall can seat 5,000 and outside can seat 5,000, let's say 10,000, and Soweto has 6 million people, then it means Grace Bible Church has almost no effect on Soweto.
Yeah.
That's what it actually means.
That's right.
So it means you can stay here in this corner of Soweto forever and ever and ever, but it doesn't still... You see, there's something you can't accomplish. So God said, you go from Jerusalem to Judea. And what happens is that as you stay longer in a place, instead of people appreciating you more, you see that I have to even preach the way I'm preaching. What I'm saying, and I talk about pastors appreciating, it's not new people. It's people who have been around for a long time I'm teaching you to appreciate. It's not like you are newcomers and I'm now teaching you, try and love your pastor or try and appreciate the gift of God. It's older people. This drama that we did here, it's not for new wives. The new young wives are flowing and whatever. It's as you get older wives. Then everybody becomes grumpy and difficult and different and harder and stubborn. So that's why he says from Jerusalem, quickly go to Judea. Now before you realize, your ministry starts to go down in Jerusalem. So you're supposed to go like this, and you keep going. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Adamos. If you read the Bible, almost everybody who had a ministry had four areas where he ministered. His ministry worked in four places, four phases. Take Jesus. His ministry started in Bethlehem where he was born. To enter this world as a man is a major step. He said he took on the form of a man. It was a step of ministry. He took on the form of a man. He made himself of no reputation, just was born in a stable. Then the second phase of his ministry was where he grew up, Nazareth. When you read the Bible, you not know these are different places till you go to Israel. That's one of the only good things, or one of the main good things you can get by going to Israel, is that if you know some of the words, that you start to know the difference between Galilee, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, everything sounds the same, you know. But he's born in Bethlehem. You have to cross the Palestinian border to go to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is now in the Palestinian territory. Then he grew up in Nazareth, where he was not really doing miracles and just as a child, and that is inside Israel on the way to Galilee. Then third phase of his ministry was in Galilee, which is around the lake Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, where he did his miracles. Jesus didn't do great miracles everywhere. His ministry wasn't great in every place. His ministry was great in Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, and the towns around Galilee. That was the third phase of his ministry. And the fourth phase of his ministry, he himself had to travel back to Jerusalem where there were wicked pastors, so that the wicked pastors would kill him. Because there were no wicked pastors in Galilee. They were receiving masses and loving crowds. So he had to travel 250 kilometers down to Jerusalem. And there he accomplished the greatest accomplishment of his ministry, which was shedding his blood. So Jesus' ministry moved from Bethlehem to Nazareth, from Nazareth to Galilee, and from Galilee to Jerusalem. That's the four phases of his ministry. And he told us, go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Is it not true? Look at Elijah from Gilgal, Jericho, Jordan was the last place, Bethel, and Jordan. Four places. You know, and if you go through the Bible, you see a lot of people going through these four. You stay in one place. There was nothing that was able to kill anointing in the life of Jesus, only familiarity. Familiarity. Look, in Mark 6:2, he says there he could not do miracles. He could not. Not that he didn't want to. He couldn't. Like when he said, receive it, it couldn't work. Mark 6 verse 2, he could not. There he could do no miracles. He couldn't. He couldn't. There are some places you can. And where was this? Nazareth, where he grew up. There will not, you cannot do miracles there. The further away I've gone away from home, the greater things I see. It was a great experience for me to come to Soweto. It was one of my first outside Ghana experiences to come here. When I first preached here, it was a great, it was like a river was released. When I preached about anakazo, the whole church stood up and they were clapping. I always remember that. Anakazo, something that's not respected in my church. I come, I preach anakazo. It is, they are clapping. Wow! It's like a river is flowing, but you wouldn't know that what you are saying is important. All these messages I'm preaching, mega church, this and that, I would never have known that it's important if I had not gone out of Lighthouse. More than 10 years ago, the Lord told me, you go out of the church now. That's where I began to see that the messages I'm preaching are important. We're preaching loyalty and all this. They don't even mind you. So there is a deep spiritual reason, and you can never carry on through all the phases of your ministry in one location. And that's one of the reasons you need to be in full-time ministry, to travel, and you sometimes it may be physically relocating. Some of you, your ministry will begin when you come to Bible school in Ghana. Yes, it may be the first phase. That's the first phase. It's like being born, Bethlehem. It seems that you accomplished nothing. Then after Bethlehem, you go to Nazareth. There again, in that second phase, it seems as you accomplished nothing. A lot of ministry is accomplishing nothing. I'll say it again. A lot of ministry work is accomplishing nothing. Then at a point, you start to accomplish things. So don't become too discouraged. I told you at the beginning, ministry is the word of my patience. You need to be patient. And you need to move on, or you will die and your ministry will descend. Familiarity will lock you in. You can't do mighty work just because it's the same old people who don't see you as so great because they know you so well. You know, familiarity, there's something about it. There's something about it. There's something about familiarity. I tell you, it's the only thing that could quench Jesus' ministry. I tell you, no demons, no devils. When he met devil, he cast them out. Madman of Gadara, I mean Zacchaeus, what have you but familiarity? It's the strongest anti-ministry force. Strongest is familiarity. People that are familiar with you. Yes. One day, a great man of God, you know, he said to his wife, he said, don't let my humanity deceive you about who you are dealing with. I'll say it again. Should I say it again? He said, don't let my humanity deceive you as to who you are dealing with. Yes. When you are a pastor for a long time, when Bishop Musa was being consecrated as a pastor, that's a pastor, he told the congregation as part of his testimony that he wasn't well and that he had not been well and that he had recovered and all. You see, that's a pastor. You be there, you are not well, whatever problem, they see you, they live with you and they see that you are a normal person. They see with your marriage, if you are perceptive, you can see even marriage, you can see through it a bit. You see, it looks whatever, but you can see through when you have certain type of eyes. They see your life, they see your marriage, they see your illness, they see whatever weakness you have. Mm-hmm. If you don't take care, the people not value the greatness of that. That's why that man of God turned, he told his wife, don't let my humanity deceive you as to who you are dealing with. My humanity does not reveal who you are dealing with, who I am. You see me naked, you see me jumping on you like a frog, you see me, hungry. Huh? You see, yes, running stomach, and toilet, you're smelling, the whole room is smelling because of... If you don't take care, you will not have respect for the anointing. That's why I said, don't let my humanity deceive you as to who you are dealing with. Moja, did you get it? Don't let his humanity deceive you. Huh? Don't let his humanity deceive you. Humanity, the humanness of a humble person is very deceptive. You think he's nobody. Yes. You think he's nobody. Yes. But there's a treasure. Where is the treasure? In an earthen vessel. Yeah. The treasure is where? In an earthen vessel. It's not in a supernatural vessel. It's in an earthen vessel. Yes. Yeah. Don't let my humanity deceive you at all. Yeah. Look, I will not deceive you. Let me speak. Shall I speak? There are pastors here. Your ministry has gone down like this because you are stuck in South Africa. Your ministry has gone down. Your ministry is far greater. Some of you, your ministry has gone down because you are stuck in a particular town or city. And some of your ministry has gone down because you are stuck in a particular phase or a particular era of your ministry. You are stuck there. When Bishop Moser was preaching yesterday, he was trying very hard to explain to you that he has fought to come out and to move out. And you see, his life even depends on that. His life even depends on that. Because if you don't go to where you are supposed to be, you will be out. And God will have no reason to preserve you. There are many in this situation. So, it's time now to take steps. Not easy steps. There is nothing easy. Hard steps. To move forward. Whether it is forward within your church but in another realm, or forward even into another city, or forward into moving. Your gift is dying. Look, I can see it wasn't in this hall. It was, I think, in Vista University. That's why I remember those places. I say I was preaching Anakazu. You know, one day I was reviewing with my secretary some of my books. I've unpublished them. I said, don't publish this book again. It's finished. One of them was Anakazu. I just put it, no, it's not not necessary. It's nothing important. Yeah. I just unpublished it. Because you will be discouraged. And you will think that the great message you have is not a great message. But it has become like it is no message because you are stuck in Jerusalem. You are stuck in Nazareth and no mighty work is working there. This is Mark 6. Mark 6. No mighty works. He was going up to Mark 15 and Mark 16. He was stuck in. That's why he just moved out. Actually, Kenneth Hagin had a vision. This is quite an amazing one because Jesus spoke to him and he asked Jesus why he was not able to do many miracles. Then the Lord told him in the vision, he said, you know, you did as well as I could have done where you were. He was explaining why could the Lord told him that what you did was as much as I could have done in that place. That's why it's not working there. It will not work there. Yeah. It can't work there. Much cannot work there. It's only up to a point. Even my own pastors, they started to receive from me by watching ISI. Because ISI is oriented towards outsiders. So when I see outsiders, I freely preach. Like what I'm preaching, I freely preach it. But if I see my own pastors, I won't say it because I feel that the familiarity, they feel, oh, we know this. This message is this. This one is this. This one is this. So I become quiet. So as they listen to me talking to outsiders, then they become blessed. So if I had not moved to the outsiders, it would have just silenced me. Yes. I would have died. Your people, they know this is this. After that, he'll do this, then he'll do that, then he'll say this, then he'll do that. I met Benny Hinn's crusade director some years ago. And I said, what are you saying? Oh, we are no more going to do crusades. I said, why? I said, oh, that attendance has gone down. I said, why? So we just came from New Jersey. So the first time we went, there was 20,000. The next time we went, there was 12,000. The last time we went, there only 5,000 people came. We are not going there anymore. It's finished. Same place. Look, take it from me. I may be nobody, but I tell you, few people have carried the anointing that Benny Hinn carried. Few ever have carried such an anointing. It's one of the biggest anointing on the earth today. Yes. One of the big, no matter whatever difficulty he has, it's one of the highest and strongest. And you see that there is nothing powerful to kill the ministry and anointing than to be repeatedly at the same place where they know you in a way.
Thank you.
That's why when I come and I say great things about Bishop Moses, it sounds strange to some of you. It's because you are familiar with a great thing. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Wow. One day a pastor came to visit us in our church. He had been a pastor for about 35 years. And he was describing how there are about less than 50 people in the church. He has his building and everything. It's like he has had members, but it's like the people are less and less and less and less, and they are getting fewer. There are people like that here. Your members are getting fewer. There are chairs, but they are getting fewer. You are happy because it seems you are all right, but you are lost. You're out of sync with the Holy Spirit. You are not following the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. When you need to travel, you need to. That is why I established the board. One of the reasons. Because I know. When I joined the board of Church Growth International, that is how come I went to the whole world. So many nations have been. It's because of relationships. Some of you are not good at relating well. Yeah. You're not good at relating. You don't know how to relate. T.D. Jakes said there are three reasons for inviting people. One is to honor them. Two is to build a relationship. And three is to be blessed by the ministry of the person. Yes, I heard it. I was surprised. There are three reasons for inviting somebody. One is to build a relationship. Two is to honor the person. And three is to be blessed. So it can be either of these. And many of us don't know how to even start a relationship. You wonder why you are alone. Because you never invite anybody or you never want to open yourself up to a relationship. Yes. When I desired a relationship with Bishop Moses, the first thing was I invited him. He didn't invite me. I invited him. And not everybody you invite will have a relationship. I've invited people that they don't have a relationship. But I invited him and it opened a relationship for so many years. Yes. So, mighty works. Are you still around? Sure? Enter into full-time ministry so that you can be sent. Tychicus, 2 Timothy 4, verse 12. Tychicus, have I sent to Ephesus? Tychicus, have I sent where? To Ephesus. Wow. Tychicus, have I sent to Ephesus? How can we send you to the nations of the world as a lay person? Many places there are no jobs. Even in South Africa, many towns have no jobs. Is it not true? Many towns there are no jobs at all. And do you think God only loves the people in Soweto? No. How are we going to go to the other uttermost, Upington and where? Kuruma? Freiburg? Where? Springbok? Black Mountain? Zanini? Nkowa Nkowa? Malahlele? Mafikeng? How can we go to those places except there are people you can send? Do you not care about these people? Huh? He saved you. He saved me. What about others? You didn't hear my question? I said he saved you. He saved me. What about others? What about others? Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. You can be sent to town. That he was Tychicus was sendable to Ephesus. Listen, we are making sendable people. Amen. And we are going to send people. Amen. To places. Amen. And people will ask, where are you from? You say, from South Africa. I say, how are you able to stay here? I say, because I was sent, and because I'm South African, you know. And South Africans, we know how to struggle. That is something you will learn when you come to South Africa. We know how to struggle. Yes. I see a Tychicus here now. I said, I see a Tychicus. Yes, you are being released. You are sendable. I said, you are sendable. You are sendable. You are sendable. There will be Tychicus in Kisangani, in Congo. Lubumbashi in Congo, Kinshasa in Congo, Brazzaville, Port Noah. God is going to use you. All these towns like Ephesus. What is going to happen there? Unless there is a sendable person. That is why full-time ministry is very important. And that's why those who say they are into prosperity and they are into giving should give very well. So that we can send. We should have on the payroll Grace Bible Church, more than 100 missionaries sent into different places that we are supporting them for 6 months, 1 year. We are paying them so that they can stay in these towns and do the work of God. Sendable people. Sendable. Look at Temba. I sent him to Mafikeng and his wife Mojaji, the one who was beaten Bishop Oku on the stage. She doesn't beat you, I know. She's a sweet. Oh. How many would like your wife to use a kettle to pour the hot water on you? Oh. Another fight. Another negotiation. Another meeting. From one fight to another fight. No break. But you see, the grace of God appeared to the man and he even overcame. So sometimes the grace of God comes and the person even looks more fantastic. Yeah. Although he doesn't have a problem. Yeah. Wow. Is it fantastic? Tychicus, I have sent him to Ephesus. Who have you sent? You call yourself a pastor. Who have you sent? Who have you sent? Have you ever sent anybody? Is there any sendable person in your church? You are just praising yourself because there are people sitting there on Sunday.
Oh, the deputy mayor is in our church, and the ANC director of protocol is also in our church, and the KFC manager is in our church, and the cutting material sellers are in our church.
This is what you praise yourself with. You don't have any sendable person that you can send. Eh? You are praising yourself that the KFC manager is in your church. This is why you are happy. Yes, sir. Yeah? The KFC manager and the KFC, the one who serves, give me two chicken and one what? Drumsticks. The one who is taking the drumsticks is in your church. So you are happy. Oh, God has blessed me. The drumstick seller has come to my church. Hey! Pastor, the secret reason why I love this KFC manager in my church, when I go there and I order two drumsticks, it becomes four drumsticks for the price of two. Do you know that the people who sell, when they see their friend, they add some to it? Or you don't know that? You've never worked there before. They add. Say two, they just fill it and take it. They just add some. And you just wave, I'm here. But you don't have Tychicus. You can't send him. He saved you. He saved me. What about others? Wow. We are going for a tea break. Tea break. The last point. I hope it's the last point. It's not the last point. Enter full-time ministry because you despise earthly things. How many despise earthly things? Wow. Number nine. And a full-time ministry to be able to fight a good fight. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, quickly. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Huh? How can you go to war if you are a full-time KFC supervisor? You got to stay and do the supervision. Isn't it true? If you are an attendant at Mr. Price, isn't it true? You have to be there to help people to buy the clothes, the blouses and the things there, and arrange all the clothes in the shop. Is it not true? How can you say you have gone on a mission when you are needed in the shop? So listen to this scripture. Everybody look at it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may do what? Please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If you want to go deeper into God, you cannot entangle yourself. In what? In evil? No, not in evil. In sin? No, not in sin. In the affairs of this life. You really want to work for the Lord? You cannot entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful blessing you give to us with your holy word. We are so glad to be your servants in Jesus' name. Amen.